Thank you, Clive. Clive has sent through a question. Is an argument between two vegans still called a beef? And there's probably nobody better to ask than the traveling rabbi himself, Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft. How are you, Rabbi? Let's get your mic in front of your mouth.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Welcome into studio.
Thank you very much.
And I wanted to find out from you, how do country communities celebrate Pesach?
Just as we do in Johannesburg, but just with a lot less supplies.
Yeah.
A lot less of the extra supplies. It's probably more authentic what they have compared to what we have. Interestingly enough, just for your listeners, I was making some notes earlier when you contacted me, and in most of the stores still around the country, there are Pesach supplies. And the greatest customers for that are the local Afrikaners.
Really?
Because they love the matzah, they love the Jewish grape juice and Jewish wine, etc. And so what the stores do now is they take enough supplies off the shelves, or they don't put them on the shelves in the first place, for the local Jewish community. And then whatever's left, they put on the shelves. And it's very, very popular. I remember when I was in the army many years ago in the old government, we used to give all the senior military people matzah and wine, Erev Pesach, as a gift from the Jewish community. And they used to look forward to it. They used to wait for it from year to year. For them, it was a great highlight.
That's fascinating.
So there you go. You see something like that. If you want matzah and wine in the country, you've got to speak to the manager. You won't find it on the shelf because everybody else has taken it already.
Or you call the rabbi.
Or you call the rabbi. That's it.
So you've been traveling. You've been traveling the last few weeks, actually delivering the supplies for the community of Zimbabwe. Where else have you traveled to
Correct.
That you've delivered supplies?
So Zimbabwe, we have our annual Pesach supplies for the local communities in Bulawayo and Harare. And this year, unfortunately, a little bit delayed, but they got there in time for Pesach. On Monday, I was in a town called Leslie, which was formerly known as Leandra, and I met a lady and her daughter there, and they had absolutely no supplies, so we took them some matzah. And The big one is knedlach mix. That's become the popular one now.
Well, you put it in kugel, you put it in everything, right, Sash?
Totally.
Don't ask me, I'll just say yes. And we also, Postnet Glen Hazel has been amazing to us, and we've posted Pesach supplies to Nelspruit, Port Alfred, Mossel Bay. I was in Livingston 2 weeks ago, and there's an Israeli guy there, the only identified Jew in Livingston, and
wow.
I gave him matzah and wine. The top African attorney, Mr. John Jr. Kapapa in Livingston also, very friendly with the Jewish community, so I gave him matzah and wine as well. Very well received. Maputo always organized their own through Kosher World, and they have communal sidurim. This year particularly, we sent extra supplies to Beira for the Israelis that are working on the relief projects in Beira from this cyclone Idai, yeah, in Mozambique. So that's really been an extra bonus for us. And yeah, I'm very active on Facebook, and somebody wrote in Mossel Bay that they don't have wine, and very nice Zandvake Wines said, call us and we'll try and get you as much wine as possible for Pesach. So the positive aspects of social media as well.
That's very special. It really is. How many Jews are there living outside of main cities?
We have 1,400 people in our records.
Yeah.
Living in South Africa, outside of the bigger centers. And as I say, they vary from two people in Leandra to one person somewhere else to a handful in Nelspruit, Port Alfred, all over the country. There's people all over the place. As I say again, thanks to the border deputies and their efforts, as many people as possible that contacted us or that we know about will have Pesach supplies this year. Basic supplies, but we'll have Pesach supplies this year.
What keeps Jews outside of the main cities? I mean, the main cities, firstly, it's very convenient. You've got school, you've got Jewish day schools, you've got shuls, and you've got choice. What keeps them in the communities, in the country communities?
If you haven't lived in a country community, you don't know about why people want to still live in the country.
I'm a farm girl at heart. I understand.
So you have a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful lifestyle. Most people that still live out there are, I wouldn't say elderly, but in an advanced stage of life already, and they retired. And why move? They've got their friends. They've got their circle of social activities.
Yeah.
Most of their kids, unfortunately, are overseas. And why move? They've got it good.
Interesting. Very interesting. if somebody wants to get involved, wants to help you, wants to, I don't know, do you ever take people with you?
Day trips, we do take people. On a day trip, somebody, for example, I'll be traveling next week and somebody wants to visit a cemetery where their family's buried. I said, sure, come along for the day.
Amazing.
Overnight, obviously, is a problem, but sure, we do day trips. And we encourage as many people as possible. And as I said on Facebook, we have a large circle or a large group of people following us and seeing the work we do. And it's not only encouraging for us, but it's encouraging for the people in the country communities as well, because they feel that they're not left out and they're not forgotten.
Yeah. Follow him on Facebook. It's Rav Moshe Silberhaft. Go and check it out. And you can actually... What's amazed me is how interactive it is. The people who comment on your posts, everybody gets involved from all over the world.
Absolutely. When we closed the Kroonstad Shul, we found a parochet, the curtain from the Aron Kodesh, of a Mr. Greenblatt that his wife donated in his honor. And I posted it about 2 years ago. Nobody responded. And then I did it again because we're now sorting out our storeroom. And his grandson contacted us to say, hey, I never knew my grandfather was any involved in the congregation or my grandmother, and what are the measurements? We'd like to have it. Often there are people that, cousins that connect through Facebook, through our posting, that haven't had contact for years or didn't even know that they're cousins fifth time removed or whatever it is. And also I asked people to give comments. What was it like living in these towns? Did they live in the towns? And we have phenomenal responses. Phenomenal responses. And that just shows the history of Lithuanian Jewry, the richness of its tradition, heritage. And people still want to be connected. People still want to be connected. I'd like people to be more involved, obviously show more interest in our cemetery project, which I'm not here to raise funds, but...
No, let's take the opportunity. I mean,
cost an absolute fortune. We look after over 220 cemeteries with almost 30,000 graves. And obviously most of these are not visited, but as I travel, I post pictures of the tombstones as I go along for people to connect. And I was in Britstown recently, and a lady commented that she saw for the first time her cousin's tombstone that was a baby. And she says she's sitting in Jerusalem with tears running down her eyes, running down her cheeks. And it's just so beautiful that there's that connection.
Yeah.
And the interest. But, you know, I always say that, God forbid, our children should emigrate and leave our graves behind, as a lot of people have done currently. And I encourage people to be in touch with it, even if it's just to say, you know, the next time you're in Lichtenberg or the next time you're in wherever it is and you see my grandfather's grave, please put a stone in it. You know, I can't get there, obviously.
Yeah.
But tell him that, you know, say a prayer and put a stone. Just that interest is very, very important.
And also the maintenance.
Maintenance is
a big thing.
Sure, it's a big project. It's a huge expense to the board of deputies, but at the moment it's carrying on. We're in a process of restructuring.
Incredible work that you do, and thank you very, very much for doing it.
Thank you.
We're going to have to wrap up in a minute or two. Just very quickly, do any of the communities, the country communities, do they experience any form of anti-Semitism, or is it not even a thought?
Not even a thought. Absolutely not. As I've said many times, first of all, the original Afrikaans communities are very religious and have great respect for the Jewish people and consider them God's chosen people. So in our research in Beit HaTfotzot downstairs and the research ladies, there are many, many congregations and shuls that were facilitated originally and built by the Christian communities when the communities arrived. And today, that you know, the Jew in the small town is so minimal and so insignificant in reality to the bigger picture. And with the elections coming up, etc., the Jewish problem, if there is one, which there isn't, is really not on the agenda whatsoever.
Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft, thank you so much for the wonderful work that you do. And anything that you want to say as we wrap up?
Thank you very much to your show. I encourage everybody to continue listening and your efforts. And everybody should have a kosher on Freilich and Pesach. And most importantly, it's called Passover. Don't let it pass over with something significant happening during the Pesach. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.